on this 4th of July weekend, this day when ostensibly we celebrate the birth of our nation in freedom, I want to remind us of the 4th of July in the life of God's people. The day that God brought His people out of Egypt with a high hand and demonstrated to Pharaoh who was God and who wasn't. Exodus 12:12. On that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn, both men and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. This is the day you are to commemorate. For generations to come, you will celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance or memorial. For 7 days, you are to eat bread without yeast. On the first day, remove the yeast from your houses, for whoever eats anything with yeast in it from the first day through the seventh must be cut off from Israel. On the first day, hold a sacred assembly, and another one on the seventh day. Do not work at all on these days except to prepare food for everyone to eat. That is all you may do. We have here described Israel's Independence Day. And it is important to remember where you came from as a people. God said you're to rehearse it. You're to make it a lasting memorial. Every year you're to commemorate it for an entire week. You're to begin that week with a sacred assembly. Do you understand what a sacred assembly is? There have been leaders in America a few years ago, it's not the case anymore, who were saying, we need to call a sacred assembly. I'm glad they didn't. I'm glad they didn't. Because had there been a real sacred assembly, and God would have shown up, a lot of people would be dead. Because the first thing about a sacred assembly is every single person must attend. There is absolutely no excuse for not taking part. Can you imagine if even a single church called that kind of assembly today? They were to kill the person who didn't come out, as King Asa threatened when he called a sacred assembly. If anyone fails to show up, have them killed. And they were to begin that week with a sacred assembly. No child too young. No elder too old. No one too busy. No one exempt. Every single person focused together on one thing. No baseball games. No visiting an amusement park. They were to call a sacred assembly. And then after the week, at the end of the week, on the last day, they were to again call a sacred assembly. It was to be a serious time. And they were to teach their children. Do you understand that these things happened almost 3,500 years ago? And it's still remembered today? Our nation, tomorrow, will only be 240 years old. That's four short lifetimes. If you count today, the average lifetime is 80 years old. That's three lifetimes. That's it. Three lifetimes. And yet, what have we forgotten about the godly legacy that was passed to us? Notice what Israel was commanded to do. Look with me at Exodus 12, verse 26. Let's start at 24. Exodus 12, 24, obey these instructions as a lasting ordinance or memorial for you and your descendants when you enter the land that the Lord will give you as He promised. Observe this ceremony. And when your children ask you, what does this ceremony mean to you? Do you know how few of our children we have trained to ask what's important? We haven't trained our children to ask what matters. They're too busy on a video game. Or being shuttled from one activity to another, filling every night of the week. Entertained to death. God said, you make those children sit around all day long, 2 days out of seven. No running around the house. I remember the first time I went to a Plymouth Brethren meeting. I was a young believer. I was probably still 16 years old. Only been saved a few months. The Plymouth Brethren were a small sect of Christians that really took God's Word seriously. And every Friday night, they would have their major meeting. And they would all come together and sit around, and they'd begin by singing. Now, their singing wasn't anything like the singing in the so-called Church of America is today. They didn't have any praise band. There wasn't 100 instruments on the stage banging away and trained singers. There was a little song book with words and absolutely no music. And there wasn't an instrument in the building. And two or three of the elders would start singing, would pick a number, a set of lyrics out of the book, and then two or three of them would begin the song. Now, that probably wouldn't be bad if they had agreed on which tune and which key they were going to sing in. But since they didn't agree on either of those things, it was, needless to say, an interesting experience for a Americanized, secularized worldling like I had just come out of. There was nothing entertaining about it at all. And when they were done singing a song or two, then they would open up the scripture, read a chapter, not a few verses, a chapter, and then they would study it for an hour and a half or 2 hours. Do you know what amazed me? The room was filled with kids. It's a little foggy now. It's been over 40 years since that day. But there were probably 15 or 20 kids in that room, young kids. And those kids didn't stir a muscle. The teenagers that we'd brought with us that supposedly were saved and living for Jesus, and they fidgeted and fussed, and two-year-olds didn't. And I can remember the elder coming up to some of us afterwards and looking us in the eye, and he said, "Are you Christians?" Or something to that effect. And we gladly, "Oh yes," he said, "then why can you not show respect for the Word of God?" They were a people who were serious about making a memorial to their children. We haven't done that in this nation. Have you even read the Declaration of Independence? Do your children know what the Declaration of Independence is? Please do not trust that the school systems will do anything to train your children about the true history of the United States of America. If they teach history at all, which is a questionable endeavor, no matter what it says in the syllabus, you can be sure that that history has been twisted by textbooks that are written to obscure the truth and deliver a lie. The unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands, which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitles them. A decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. Aren't you glad they knew the truth back then? Nothing there about all men are evolved as animals. All men are created equal. That they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. That among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. Governments are instituted among men that whenever any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their change for light and getting old is not easy on the eyes, is it? Laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be disposed to suffer, to be changed for light and transient causes. And accordingly, all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while ills are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they evince a design. Trifocals are not easy. The forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them to utter despotism, it is their right, it is their duty, to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. And it goes on. We have lived in a land of freedom. A freedom almost unknown by most of humanity. Not because liberal politicians passed laws to keep us safe, or the NSA wiretapped our phones or our computers, but because the men women who lived and died to bring us this nation valued freedom. In fact, in speaking of that Declaration of Independence, Abraham Lincoln, speaking in one of the most revered of all political speeches in the history of our nation on November 19, 1863, after the monumental battle at Gettysburg, said these words, 67 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation conceived in liberty, and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now, we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation, or any nation so conceived and dedicated, can long endure. We are met on a great battlefield of that war. We have come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those who gave their lives that that nation might live. It is altogether fitting and proper that we should do this. But in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. The brave men, living and dead, who struggled here have consecrated it far above our poor power to add or detract. The world will little note nor long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here. It is for us, the living, rather, to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced. It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion. That we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain. That this nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom. That government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth. The Bible is absolutely clear. In fact, it says it twice in a single chapter. If you would turn with me to Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 12. When the righteous triumph, Proverbs 28, 12, there is great elation. But when the wicked rise to power, men go into hiding. Do you see that happening around us this day? And again, the last verse of that chapter, Proverbs 28, 28. Proverbs 28, 28. When the wicked rise to power, people go into hiding. But when the wicked perish, the righteous thrive. I entitle this message, Memorials and Boundary Markers. We have lost the boundary markers of our nation. They have been moved by evil people with an evil agenda, an agenda of removing God from our history, from our present, and from our future. They have had as many reminders of His power and presence scrubbed from the walls of our building, erased from the textbooks of our schools, sanitized from the official histories of our nation. At first, they replaced the glory due to God with a series of three little dots, dot, dot, dot. And now even the dots have been removed. For they might stir someone to seek the truth. I remember when my parents bought the farm where my mother still lives in the house. They did a survey of the land and they couldn't make the boundaries line up. In those days, the deed to the property when that farm was formed over 100 years ago, the property lines ran from, in the deed, from things like from the old oak tree down to the corner of the stone fence. And God established for the people of Israel that they would set boundary markers at the edge of every property, and that neighbors would go together and inspect the boundary marker and establish the true boundaries of each land. But unscrupulous people, wicked people, would come in the middle of the night and would dig up the boundary marker and would cover up the evidence of their digging and would plant it some distance into the neighbor's property, claiming what was not theirs for their own. We live in a land where unscrupulous leaders are moving all of the boundary markers. I don't know if you watched the news this week. Didn't get a lot of play, but this week another boundary marker was moved in the middle of the night. What, when my father tried to sign up for World War II, would have been an abomination, today was passed. This week was passed as the practice of the land. From now on, transsexual individuals will serve openly in the military and will have their uniforms adjusted to demonstrate their sexual preference. Somebody, as I shared that with somebody this morning, they said, "Are you really surprised?" And I have to say, yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm not surprised that it happened, but I am stunned by the rapidity, by how rapidly this godless transformation is seeking, is pushing into our society. And the only reason we're not more stunned is we have become so jaded at the repeated moving of the boundary stones that we don't even notice anymore. At least in the old days, they would dig up the boundary stones and they would hide the evidence and they would replant it someplace else. We live in a day in which godless men don't even plant the boundary stones anymore. They mount them on a cart and just keep on rolling. The Bible tells us about boundary markers. I want to share four verses about boundary stones. On this weekend, when we are supposed to remember the liberty we were bequeathed, Deuteronomy 19:14. Deuteronomy 19:14. Do not move, Deuteronomy 19:14, your neighbor's boundary stone set up by your predecessors. We do not honor our predecessors at all anymore. We are led by godless people that believe that nothing mattered before they arrived on the scene and nothing will matter after they leave it except what they have personally done. The world begins and ends with them. God says, do not move your neighbor's boundary stone set up by your predecessors. It's time we began to go back to our predecessors, to the God they loved, to the freedom they fought for. For the righteousness they attempted to bequeath us. Do not move the neighbor's boundary stone. It goes a little further. Look at Deuteronomy 27. Deuteronomy 27, verse 17. Deuteronomy 27, verse 17. I was talking with someone this week. Got together and had a nice time together. And they were talking about how hard it is to live for Christ today. And I have to agree, we live in times that are very difficult. And I believe there's a great reason for that. We are living under a curse. And here's one of the reasons. Deuteronomy 27, 17. Cursed! Cursed! Do you understand what that biblical word cursed means? It is the exact opposite word of the word blessing. When we say things like the Lord bless you, or blessings upon you, God bless, that word curse is the opposite. It is everything that bless is not. And it is nothing that bless is. Cursed is the man who moves his neighbor's boundary stone. Can you imagine the curse we're under as a nation for the boundary stones we've moved? Can you imagine the curse we're under as a people? For the boundary markers we've moved? Oh, don't worry about it. Let's just take another opinion poll. What do people think? Who cares? Who cares? Have you ever watched some of these people go out and interview the people that they take the opinion polls of, asking them ludicrous questions that people sit there? I was stunned. I shouldn't be, but I am, because I don't want to give in to being that jaded. It's hard, but I forget who it was went out and began to ask college students. What do you think of the fact that Donald Trump has just declared that Dennis Rodman is going to be his vice president? Did you see the thing? Oh yeah, I was watching it this morning. So you saw the whole interview. Well, what did you think of when he ripped off his shirt and jumped up on the table and started doing push-ups? Oh, I thought that was great. And then they take opinion polls of idiots like that and tell us what's right and wrong. Just in case you're confused, none of that stuff happened. But college students were convinced it did. They'd seen it. Harvard, yes. Church of Jesus Christ ought to take Harvard back. Do you know that godly men and women sacrificed to build up the legacy that bestowed Harvard with the vast wealth it controls? That school was formed to train men of God to lead the church, and it's been stolen by wicked men and women who have perverted what godly people laid down to us. They've moved the boundary markers. One more thing about boundary markers, and then we're done. Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22. I want us to look at two verses, both of which say the same thing. Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22, verse 28. And I love this for the 4th of July. It's time we remember this. Maybe this should be the verse that we consider on this 4th of July. Do not move an ancient boundary stone set up by your forefathers. You don't have a right to set the boundary stones where you want them. They were set up by your forefathers. Stick with them. And again, Proverbs 23:10. Do not move an ancient boundary stone or encroach on the fields of the fatherless. For their defender is strong. He will take up the case against you. And if you want to understand why what is happening in America is happening, you need to understand who is taking up the case against us. Because we have moved the boundary stones. And it's time that even if we do not succeed, that we begin to say with a clear and loud voice, the boundary stones go back. Some of you may not be old enough to remember the days of Richard Nixon. I was a teenager when they began the investigations that were and would have led inexorably to an impeachment of him and did result in his resigning from office to avoid that impeachment. But I remember something about those days that are missing today. I remember when the truth began to come out about the corrupt things that he had done, that it was not a party vote over whether he was innocent or guilty, that both sides were equally appalled at his criminal behavior. What stuns me, the mile marker that's been moved, the boundary stone that's been changed, is how today proof, absolute proof of corruption and wickedness are revealed, and people shrug their shoulders and say, so what? And parties line up behind their guy, irregardless of whether they're innocent or guilty. You've moved the boundary markers. You've moved those heavy stones a long way in the wrong direction. And it's time that at least God's people stand up and say, the truth is the truth, right is right, wrong is wrong. And you can move the boundary stones wherever you want. I say they stay right here. Now you're going to be thought an idiot, old-fashioned, a hater for doing so. But Jesus said, if they hated me, they will hate you. Which side of the boundary stone are you on? Let's bow together. Oh God. Lord, you said so long ago, seek for the ancient paths. Oh God, I fear for our nation, for we have moved the markers so that the ancient paths are obscured and unknown. We are the fulfillment of what you said of the Pharisees so long ago. Not only will you refuse to go into heaven, but you hold the door shut against those who would. Oh God, may we be a people who honor the ancient boundary stones, who seek for the old paths, who do not accept the modern changes and redefinitions. Oh God, make us a people of the truth in Jesus' name.